Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting of the Education Committee to order. It is Friday, and it is 8:57, Friday the 20th, and President Representative Keller, Munoz, Wilson, Book, myself, Chair Seaton, and Representative Edgman is excused. At this time, I remind everybody about their cell phones. And today we have HB 137, the Compact Education of Military Children. And on Monday, we will have House Bill 184, debt authorization for the university. We will also continue and bring up House Bill 137 on Monday. We will get the department testimony at that time as well. We have guests that have come a long way for testimony today, and so we'll get the bill presented, and then we'll have at least an hour here where we can go into testimony. So, and Representative Coghill is feeling ill, still trying to get over this cold that's been going around Juneau, so his staff is here to present the compact. And good morning. Would you identify yourself for the record and present the bill?
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Karen Lidster, and I am staff to Representative John Coghill, and I appreciate the opportunity to present this, though I am sorry that Representative Coghill is not feeling well enough to be here on his own. I would like to just read the sponsor statement in, and then go through the specific articles of the sectional, and then, as you stated, there are expert witnesses here that can deal with this and then answer maybe some of your specific technical questions. So the purpose of House Bill 137 is to eliminate some of the barriers that face children of military personnel as they transition from one school system to another. The average student will move from 6 to 9 times from kindergarten to 12th grade. While the Armed Services has done much to ease the transition for children of military personnel, there is much that can be done at the state and local levels to ensure that these children are afforded the same opportunities for educational success as other children. Alaska enjoys a close relationship with our servicemen and women and their families, and recognize the sacrifice and stress they face with frequent moves and deployment. There are 12,106 active duty children between the ages of 5 and 18, plus the children of active members of the Guard and Reserve that will benefit from this compact. 11 states in 2008 adopted this compact, and presently 22 states have pending legislation to join the compact. Passing this legislation will help remove some of that stress by providing the children timely enrollment as they move from one school district to another. And if you turn to the sectional, hopefully, that was provided, I will go through the articles.
And Karen, we have the sectional, and so I'm wanting to make sure that we don't cut off too much time for the people that have come so far. So does anyone on the committee need to verbally run through the sectional? I don't think so. So let's put the sectional and the details of the bill on hold until the Monday meeting, and we'll have that up first on Monday, the compact, and we'll deal with that then, if you don't mind. And if we get through with testimony earlier, then we can come back up today and handle that as well.
Mr. Chairman, that would be just fine.
Thank you, Karen. And on our, we have Tom Hittern, is that Hinton from Virginia? Would you come up, Tom, and introduce yourself onto the record and who you represent, and proceed with your testimony. Do all three want to come up at the same time? Would you go ahead and do that? And when we have three male voices, what I have to ask you to do is each time you talk, just say your name so that the recording secretary has it as you speak. Otherwise, we go back and try and sort. Who was that that said said that? So appreciate that. And go ahead and just introduce yourself and who you represent on the record before you talk, and go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Thomas Hinton. I'm Senior State Liaison in the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense, and glad to be here with you today, and I'll let my colleagues introduce themselves. I don't know if we're the Three Stooges or the Three Musketeers here.
I prefer Musketeers.
Okay, all right. We'll go with that. I'm here today. It's my privilege to work with the Undersecretary on issues that impact military families in the states. The Department of Defense a few years ago realized that there are a number of issues that impacted our families that really the federal government either could not or should not do anything about, and that we needed to come to the states and ask if certain policies could be put in place to assist our families. The states have been tremendously responsive, and we've been thrilled with the kind of things that have happened. This issue before you today is one of the most significant ones of the top 10. We have a top 10 list that we work with throughout the year, and this is one of the top ones. In fact, we probably hear about this issue of transitioning from one school to the next for military families more than any other issue we talk about. And there, as you know, would be a number of issues because it's of significant importance to these families. We realize in the Undersecretary's office that this is really an issue of readiness for us. If we have folks on the battlefield or serving their country in some other capacity who are constantly worried about how the children are doing in school, they don't have their mind on the battle, and ultimately when decisions are made whether to stay in the service or get out of the service, we know those decisions are made around the kitchen table, and that when the children's welfare are considered, if they're not well cared for, they're going to get out. And we don't want to lose good people. We think that's certainly in the country's best interest to retain our best people. So from a practical standpoint and a readiness standpoint, my undersecretary is the Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness. This becomes a pretty critical issue. But of course, there's the quality of life issue and something that's important to our families. And so it's really kind of feels pretty good to work on this issue and to see the kind of response we've had across the country. As was mentioned, last year 11 states joined this compact, and 10 is required to activate it, and so it actually became an active compact as of last year. And the initial meeting of the Interstate Compact Commission took place in the fall of 08. This year, as was mentioned, we're in like 20 states or so. Looking at it right now, it's a couple of days ago, we brought on our first state of 2009. State number 12 in total, that was Mississippi, and we expect Virginia to sign any moment. The bill is in the governor's hand, and I'm sort of waiting with bated breath to get the call that he actually put a signature on it. I'm sure that he will. So, and other states are making tremendous progress, and we're just really encouraged by that kind of response. And I know that our families are heartened by it. When we share the news of a new state coming on or looking at it, they're really beside themselves, and it's been really a thrill to work on their behalf. And when we see families on television or we see the families coming home, our hearts just really wrap around them, and we're thrilled to be involved, as you are, in working on behalf of these children. This compact, that was just my honor to be the Department of Defense's principal staff in the development of the compact, and we started in 2006. But previous to this, this issue that we're talking about, school transition for military children, was one we tried to handle state by state, maybe even local school district by school district basis. And what we discovered was no matter how accommodating state or school district was, there was always just maybe a slight variance in one way or another, so that the transition between one state and the next became problematic. And we realized we really needed to deal with this in a comprehensive fashion, and then discovering and knowing about the vehicle of Interstate Compact began to look at that as an option. And so 2 years ago in 2006, we got a hold of the Council of State Government, and you'll hear from Mr. Masters here in a moment, who is with CSG, and we put an advisory group together, and we met a number of times and worked out what are the issues, what can we solve, what can't we solve, and then a drafting group following that. So it's quite a process and involved a number of people from interest groups and experts from around the country. I just wanted to mention in their behalf, and just so you get a flavor about how this was developed, just some of those groups, and not all, but let me just mention some of these that were involved around the table with us and invested their time in this as well. The National Association of Elementary School Principals, the National Military Family Association, the Military Child Education Coalition, the National School Boards Association, the National PTA, the National Association of State Boards of Education, the National Education Association, the Military Impacted Schools Association, and the Education Commission of the States, among others. So this is a critical issue, and we're glad to see that it's being worked on and that you're considering it here. I'm just delighted to be joined today by Mr. Rick Masters, who's probably one of the nation's leading authorities, probably the nation's leading authority on interstate compacts generally, and has been involved, as I have. We've sort of become frick and frack here. We're around the country. And
frack.
I don't mind being frack. And we've just enjoyed it, but certainly, you hear the phrase about so-and-so has written the book on. This is literally true of Mr. Masters. He's written the book on interstate compacts, and I recommend it if you'd like to go to sleep at any time. You're having a hard time. Just pull that book out, and it'll do it real quickly. But among lawyers and such, they kind of think it's pretty cool. But nonetheless, it's been a tremendous association with the Council of State Governments, and they've been just a tremendous partner, and we're thrilled to work with them. So I certainly want to entertain any questions you may have about some of these details. Mr. Masters certainly will go over the structure here, I believe. And Mr. Sanssouci, who works with us in this region of the country. So we're delighted to be here and happy to answer questions of any sort. And Mr. Masters here, I'm sure, will take you through the compact, at least in its broad strokes, and I'm sure answer any questions as well.
Okay, and before we go on, are there any questions at this point for Mr. Hinton? Yes, Representative Booth.
Not necessarily questions, but a request. This information is not in our packet.
We can make it available.
The credentials, sure, and contact information. Could we get that at the very least, so that in the future, if we do have any other questions, we can get back to you folks?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thing.
And we signed in here as well with an email address, so That's available to you as well.
Would you go ahead and introduce yourself, right, Mr. Masters?
Chair Seaton, members of the committee, I'm pleased to be here. I'm Rick Masters. My title is Special Counsel for Interstate Compacts, and I work with the Council of State Governments. It's been my pleasure to work with the Council of State Governments for the last 15 years. I see Representative Munoz and others of you that have participated in our Western Legislative Conference, and we're pleased to work on this compact with the Department of Defense. And as many of you know, the Council of State Governments has been dedicated to the notion that initiatives like this that are traditionally managed by the states ought to continue to be managed by the states. And when we have a problem that transcends the border of one state and requires joint action, it's preferable, if we can do so, at least most state legislators agree, to try to do that collectively rather than be dictated to, so to speak, by our federal government, which, you know, has some talents and skills in some areas, but we think this is a problem that ought to be managed at the local level. The Department of Defense agrees with that proposition, and we've been pleased to work in partnership with the Department of Defense. I have had the pleasure of working on a number of interstate compacts, several that have been considered or adopted by the Alaska Legislature, the Adult Offender Supervision Compact, and the Interstate Compact for Juveniles that I think is being considered this session as well. And as many of you know, compacts allow the states to collectively make decisions concerning these sorts of problems and to allow for certain uniformities that aren't possible many times unless the federal government preempts the field and tells us all what to do. So it makes a very good alternative for states to manage a problem like this. And in this particular case, with military children that are moving about the country from 6 to 9 times per the life of a military person or a career of a military person, these children encounter many situations where they have to transfer from one public school district to another. And while Alaska and other states are doing a very credible job, as far as I can tell, within your state, the problem arises when they cross that state line into another state, you know, can we be sure that they're going to get the same accommodations that the state of Alaska and some other states would provide? So this compact seeks to solve that problem. And there's four areas that our research indicated is the primary focus of problems that have been encountered by these children. And I know Mark Sansusi, who served our country many years in the military, is going to talk about these more specifically. But the four areas in which students have problems are enrollment. When they come to a new state, sometimes, believe it or not, a state board of education or a local school district will not accept a photocopy of a record. They want to have an original record. And so that student may be delayed weeks in getting enrolled just because perhaps a well-intended school administrator, thinking they can't do anything else, won't enroll them. So the compact, for instance, would say, you know, recognize the photocopy or reasonable facsimile of a record if it appears to be genuine, and then get the credentials that are certified within 10 days after that student is enrolled. The second area is eligibility. A student comes into a district because their parent was deployed and finds that they've gotten there too late to try out for the basketball team or the cheerleading squad or become a member of the National Honor Society or the Beta Club. The compact doesn't seek to dictate that you have to create a position that's not available, but it does request that the state make available to a student, if they're otherwise qualified, the opportunity to participate in these extracurricular activities, which in many cases are just as important as I know you all know, in the education of the lives of the student. The third area is placement. The student is placed in a certain area in the school district where they came from. This compact doesn't require Alaska or any other state to accept that without question. It simply says, don't let that placement issue prevent the student from enrolling. And then once the student's enrolled, if Alaska or any other state wants to do their own exams or testing to see that the student is placed properly, if there is some question about that, you're certainly free to do it. So it doesn't preempt your ability to use discretion, but it does level the playing field so these students can be assured that they're not going to be held up continuing their academic careers or graduation. And that's a good segue into the fourth area. Graduation is the other problem. On-time graduation, as many of you know, one of the most important goals of any school student. And many of these military kids come to other districts, maybe having had Maryland history, but when they move to California, they might be delayed graduating because they didn't have the California history course. And there are other issues like this. And the compact seeks to accommodate students in their junior and senior year when they move to see that they graduate in time. And it asks that the receiving state substitute courses if that's possible, recognize some alternative testing in lieu of an exit exam if that's possible. We recognize that in some cases the receiving state may not be able to do this. And if there aren't any other ways that you can accommodate this student, then we ask the receiving state to go back to the sending state and see if you can work together in making sure the student gets a diploma from the sending state. So that's essentially just kind of a shorthand version of what this does. And we're pleased to be here, and we think it's important, as we believe you will too. And we'll be happy to answer questions. And thank you for your hospitality here in Alaska.
Thank you. And we do have a couple of questions. Representative Wilson and Boop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really, Mr. Masters, I been to CSG many times, and so I appreciate the work that has been done. And as you know, this committee is pretty excited about seeing what they can do for kids. And I hope that after this is done, that you will really think of carrying that on to all kids, you know, not just military.
That's been brought up.
Yes, because I think that any child that that has to move a lot is in that same boat. And of course, we want to make sure that we can do everything we can for the military kids, but there's a lot of other kids that have a lot of other things going on in their lives that make moving back and forth. So I hope CSG kind of hangs on to this a little bit after this is taken care of to see if we can help kids transition between states in many ways.
That's a good point, Representative Wilson. It's on our radar screen.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, Representative Booth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is your title?
Special counsel for interstate compacts with CSG.
Special counsel. Well, special counsel Masters.
Yes, sir.
I did attend the CSG conference this summer here in Anchorage, last summer
yes.
in Anchorage. There were some other things that were going on at the time. I'm sure you were aware. We had special sessions. We had other things going on.
Absolutely.
During that, I did not see on the agenda a work session for this particular issue. Are you going to have one in New Mexico for this falls?
Or Idaho. I think that Coeur d'Alene, we're having a meeting.
Is it Coeur d'Alene? Because there is another CSG meeting in New Mexico coming up this fall, I believe.
Yeah, in October.
In October, correct.
Yeah, my belief is that that will be on the agenda of some of the working sessions. As Mr. Hinton already pointed out, we've got 10 states that have already joined and over 20, including Alaska, that are considering it. So I certainly think it's likely that but if we're not, I'll do what I can to make sure that happens. So.
Yeah, follow up, Reverend Booth.
In the vein of doing what you can.
Yes, sir.
I've been trying to get onto the CSG. So my approval comes up in May. And as long as you're here,
absolutely.
I've been trying for 3 years to be sent on some of these trips, and if you're going to have one in New Mexico in the fall when I have the time, I would certainly like to get that approval. And if I could get your recommendation to be there, I will certainly be in support of this issue even more so from a different state at that time.
That would be my honor, Representative, and our new executive director, David Adkins, you may know, is a former legislator from Kansas, and I'm sure he will be very open to such a suggestion.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, are there any other questions for Mr. Masters at this time? Could you go ahead and introduce yourself on the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair of the Committee. My name is Mark Sansusi, and I work with Tom Hinton, although I am the regional liaison for military families for the Department of Defense in the Northwest, which includes Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. I live in Washington, so I'm kind of considered your local contact. And I was at CSG West in Anchorage this past July, and it was a great convention. Everything was on time. The food was great. I do recall, Representative, that Mr. Keith Scott from CSG on Sunday of the last day actually did do a briefing in some venue talking about the interstate compact, although I would love to have seen it in one of the breakout sessions. I went to two or three of those, and they were all great. So I believe he did touch on it, probably not to a degree to make a good enough impression, so hopefully it'll happen in Santa Fe or Albuquerque this next year.
I have a feeling it will happen.
I've worked a lot in Washington State the last couple of years on the compact, and I can tell you that just within the last couple of weeks, the Senate passed it and the House passed it, and we're getting real close to getting to the point where your neighbors to the south in Washington will enact the compact. Representative Wilson, I would like to say that we studied it the last couple of years and in the task force last year, and one of the essential questions we looked at, and I was the DOD member on the task force, is should we be considering this compact for all kids? And the decision we made strategically was that we should keep it for military kids for now, because military kids are different than corporate kids in that they're moving because their parents are moving mm-hmm. to serve their nation, not because of a corporate move. But I think strategically that was the decision made to maybe pass it for military kids, and then for the folks concerned about everyone else to maybe leverage that and then pursue it in the future in Washington. I'm essentially here to just relay some anecdotes. I don't want to be redundant from what my colleagues have just told you, but just in the last couple years in working this, some real human anecdotes of stories working with families that I have brought to testify in Washington in front of hearings. We mentioned extracurricular activity. The anecdote of the story of the 15-year-old girl who is a 15-year-old girl in Oklahoma, and she reaches All-American cheerleader status in Oklahoma. And to be an All-American cheerleader designation in Oklahoma would be like being a football player All-American in Oklahoma. That's something, and obviously a 15-year-old girl's identity is in cheerleading. That's where she takes her identity in high school. Her dad, who was an Army soldier, got orders to Fort Lewis, Washington. They did the research and decided to move to a town to the east of Fort Lewis, and they moved in the summer, and she went to register and first day of school, she goes to try out to go to make contact with cheerleading coach, and they said, sorry, even though you're an All-American cheerleader in Oklahoma, you missed the tryouts that were last May, so we're going to have to wait and see you next year. So as you can imagine, she was devastated because that was her identity. She'd reached that level of All-American and could not cheerlead in the city of Puyallup or in the school district in Puyallup because she'd missed the cutoff. And again, that's what this compact is trying to address, making spots as much as possible, reserving spots, so someone who moves because of military service is able to continue to be a cheerleader. I have another one where high school football player moves from Texas and as a junior, and in Texas, he had passed the Texas equivalent of the exit exam you need in whatever state you're in. In Washington, it's called a WASL. I'm sorry, I don't know what Alaska may have, but he passed it. He passed it in the 10th grade, and shows up in 11th grade in a high school. We're all ready for football and all that stuff, and they said, well, no, you have to take the Washington WASL, so you're going to have to take all these courses that we're teaching so you can go ahead and pass our exit exam in Washington, even though he'd just done all that in the 10th grade and passed the Texas exam. Now, there was some persistence there, and it ended up the school district did waive this student's need to have to take it, so he was able to take all these other courses that were more college preparatory and not so much worrying about passing Washington's exit exam when he'd already passed Texas. But it was because of the exceptional persistence of the parents pushing to make this happen that it happened. It's not necessarily something that, this is another thing that Compact would say. It says, 11th grade, you pass an exit exam, that the receiving state honors that exit exam. One other one, Army in Fort Lewis, Sergeant Major, who has a child in high school with great grades, trying to get into the Air Force Academy, looking for a scholarship. When moving from Virginia to Washington, grades were interpreted differently, so the A minuses that child was getting became B pluses. B pluses became different on the grade point average. The grade point average went down. Put the Air Force Academy scholarship or nomination in jeopardy because now it was not an A student, it was a B plus. So he was considerably worried about that. And I don't think he ended up getting that. The child's going to the University of Virginia, but that did impact the family's decision to make effort to try and go to the Air Force Academy. And again, the compact would try and address these things for leveling the playing field for our kids. One other one, a Navy family in Washington, a woman Navy family moved to Whidbey from Maryland, and one of the kids was an advanced placement in the third grade. They moved in around the March time frame in third grade. The child had been in an advanced placement course the whole time. Got to Oak Harbor in Washington, and they said, well, we don't accept these records. The kid's just going into the third grade here. And you know, maybe fourth grade will entertain that. We'll do some testing and we'll decide that. Another very persistent. Now most families just kind of accept the way it goes. This spouse, having moved around as a Navy spouse, knows that she needs to fight for her kids. So she fought again and ended up having them place her child to continue an advanced placement. And they did do the testing after, and it validated that child should have been in an advanced placement course. And so when fourth grade started this past fall, sure enough, she was also in fourth grade advanced placement. But again, I cite that it's the persistence of parents to make an exception to do this. Again, the compact would help make these things policy, so these things would be, again, leveling the playing field. You have a couple of case studies in your book that comes from the Council of State Governments. The general's kid who moved around a lot and ended up having to do a private school to end up graduating on time, read Romeo and Juliet 4 years in a row in high school. I mean, once or twice would be painful enough, I would think, like four times. And also the child of an Air Force technical sergeant. I'm retired Air Force, retired 22 years of service in 2005, so I empathize. Moved from New Mexico to Florida, 10-year-old in the fifth grade. Asked for records in August. Records didn't show up till November. In the meantime, they put the child in a regular fifth grade class. The kid became restless and bored, was starting to have discipline problems. Records finally showed up. She should have been in the Quest AP Advanced Placement course. So in November, they did actually do that, and child's okay now. But again, the Interstate Compact addresses the fact that unofficial records can be accepted for placement initially, and then the rescinding school district has 30 days to get, or 10 days, to make sure those records are sent to the receiving state. So those are just a few anecdotal human examples, four of which I've been dealing with, to kind of illustrate what the compact would do to help help solve some of these issues for military kids. And I thank you for your time, and I'm willing to take any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions? Representative Gardner.
I don't know, actually, if it's for the speakers, maybe the sponsor. I just want to confirm my understanding that the proposal before us is identical to that in other states, just kind of shoehorned into our records, into our legislation.
Yes, Representative Gardner, this is Rick Masters on behalf of the Council of State Governments. Yes, that's correct. This has been adopted or has been drafted to meet the, I guess you'd say, idiosyncratic requirements of the Alaska legislature, but it is materially the same as every other state has adopted. Also, apparently neglected to go on record as stating that I'm here on behalf of the Council of State Governments, and we're directly in support of this bill, which is House Bill 137. One other thing about Romeo and Juliet, Coach Adolph Rupp from the University of Kentucky years ago, one of the barons of basketball, used to say there's only two plays this time of year, Romeo and Juliet and put the ball in the basket. So,
Representative Keller.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Donna Foxley from Washington State recommended the compact highly and did some advocating for the compact before it got here, and I appreciate her and her work, and that gave you a lot of credibility in my mind, so thank you.
Thank you, Representative Keller. This is Mark Sansusi. I work with her very closely. She just, unfortunately, with the change of administration, just left her position as the Secretary's regional representative in Seattle, but we did work together, and I knew she came up to see you all, and she came back with glowing things to say about her visit, so thank you for that.
Are there questions? We do have one person online to testify. Are there any questions at this time?
Mr. Chairman, let me just, if I may.
Would you identify your name?
Tom Hinton with the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense. I just also want to officially go on the record, in case you haven't gathered it so far, that both Mr. Sansusi and I support the bill.
Thank you very much for coming up and your work on this issue. I mean, we are very supportive of the military families, not only the military men, but the families. And as we well know in this committee, that that parents make a lot of decisions based upon what's good for their kids.
Right.
And so appreciate the work you've been doing. And we won't be moving this today, but we will be hearing further testimony on Monday. And I have heard nothing from anyone so far that is indicating that there is opposition to the compact, just for your information. But but we'll be holding it for the department to testify and all on Monday. So appreciate you coming forward. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Thank
and
you.
Carol Cuomo, are you online?
I am. I've been listening. Yes, thanks.
Good morning, Carol. Would you go ahead and identify yourself on the record and who you represent, and proceed with your testimony?
Sure. Thank you very much. I'm Carol Cuomo, the superintendent of the Anchorage School District, and I would like to testify of my personal support for advocating the military compact to our board. They're going to take it up Monday night. We drafted a resolution in support of the military contact for our board, and I'm hoping that they will approve it on Monday night, and then if they do, then what my intent would be to pass along that letter of support to you and the committee, as well as the Department of Education and the governor's office, because we believe in our review of the compact that this really strengthens our commitment that we're already implementing most of these practices, but I think it sends a very strong message to our schools in the state, and certainly in Anchorage, that these military families deserve all of our consideration and support so that their kids can make the most successful transition that they can. And as the general gentlemen, one of the gentlemen just testified that it shouldn't be up to individual parents to have to figure out how to navigate the system and how to advocate for things that really keep coming up all the time. So I really commend the folks for bringing this forward, and I'm hopeful that our school board will see this as a positive on Monday night, and then I'll be able to send you a letter of support from our school board as well as our administration.
Thank you, Carolyn. So you are testifying currently in favor of this personally and as far as the administration, or just the administration of your school district? I just want to make sure where we are on the record. Or
I cannot, because the board has not adopted the compact yet. There, I have administrative recommendation to them for Monday night's board meeting in support of the compact and adopting it. And then, but that's my administrative recommendation. Until they take action on that, we won't have an official school board position. But I wanted to call in and reiterate how important I think this is, and that's going to be my testimony to the board on Monday night, and then I would be communicating that support, hopefully, of the school board, not only to the legislature, but also to the governor.
And thank you very much, Carol. And we do have a question from Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony, Carol. My question is this. If these provisions are for the benefit and welfare of children whose parents are in the military, is there any reason they shouldn't also apply to all children?
Well, I think the previous gentleman kind of answered that. We're right now focusing on the military families because, frankly, of the deployments and the trauma that a lot of their families are going through right now. But we have implemented these same kind of procedures as best we can by individual family. So I am not recommending that at this time. I think it is more important to focus on the military and then have a further discussion with our school district and our board about the impact on their other students. We do have a lot of transition programs, and we're trying more and more to really help all these kids coming in from rural Alaska as well as all over the world, frankly. But at this point, we're just focusing our efforts on the military population.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Representative Gardner?
Thank you. And I just say that, for me, it seems it doesn't make any difference to the child if they're moving around in school because a parent is in the military or for any other reason, the child's still in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, if I could, as Representative Gardner, through the chair, I don't disagree, but I do know in our experience with the last deployment with our Army families, they're frankly, is a very much higher level of stress on the families than they are when families are moving for positive reasons in most cases. But I understand what you're saying. We just have not addressed it, the global.
Thank you.
Looking at the issue.
Are there any other questions for Carol Cuomo? Okay. Thank you again. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify on the compact on HB 137? Is there anyone else online? I will close public testimony on HB 137. I wanted to point out to members that we have a letter from the Kodiak Island Borough School District in support of 137. We have a letter from the Department of the Army and the Department of the Air Force. So those are the communications that we have in our packet. Is there committee discussion? Yes. And before we go to committee discussion, I want to remind everybody that we're holding this bill. We'll have the administration testify on Monday on this bill, as well as the other issue that we have, which will be House Bill 184, debt authorization for the university. Those will be on Monday. Yes.
My commentary was to some of my commentary, not to the bill itself, so it would be a final comment.
Go ahead.
I just want to put on the record that even though I might have sounded self-promoting in commentary to one of the gentlemen as a testifier, all of what I learn here and all of the interest that I have here enhance my knowledge and make me a better advocate for the Education Committee. So this is not about me going to learn something from another component. It is about me enhancing my abilities to be a better advocate for the students and, you know, realigning our education system in the state. So I just wanted to put that on record. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Are there... so we'll set this bill aside and appreciate everybody. Are there any further comments on the compact? No. Okay. So we'll set that aside, and I wanted to let everybody know that we have a invitation to the Alaska Charter School Association legislative briefing, which is today at 1 p.m. in the Belts Room, or no, between noon and 1. And that's for members to meet the Alaska Charter School Association and learn about the public charter schools on, you know, it's an informal time to talk with teachers, parents, and staff from charter schools around the states. And that is from Senator Joe Thomas on the other side. So wanted to let everybody know that. Representative Keller.
I just want to point out, if you want to hear one of our fellow committee members speak, Kathy is speaking at that engagement.
On Saturday.
And that's Saturday? Yeah, not today.
Not today.
Okay.
Not today.
But I'm going to be, unfortunately, miss that. I'm disappointed. I wanted to both hear the presentation and the gathering there and to hear you speak, but thank you.
But that is, this one is today with those same folks, and that'll be an informal get-together. Such as our subcommittee was, and just to report to the public, we had a subcommittee meeting this morning, informal get together to share ideas and talk and open lines of communication with the state school board for coffee and bagels this morning, and we you know, it's a trying to open the lines of communication so we can advance education for all the students across Alaska. And if there's nothing further to come before the committee, we will actually adjourn early today. It is 9:40, and we will be adjourned.